listening to a sermon, and after hearing that sermon, you felt that it just wasn't really relevant to what you were going through in your life. For example, maybe it was a sermon about what it takes to be a good parent. But you were someone in the crowd who didn't have any children, and you had no plans on having any children. Maybe it was a sermon about how God expects people to conduct themselves while dating. Well, you were someone in the crowd who had been married for 30 or 40 or 50 years. Maybe it was a sermon about the struggles that come with serving God as a teenager. Well, you were someone in the crowd who hadn't been a teenager in a very long time. You ever found yourself in a situation like that before? Brothers and sisters, it's not uncommon to listen to a sermon and find it difficult to see the relevance that that sermon has in your life. But I want to suggest to you this morning that there is one sermon in the Bible that it doesn't matter how old or young you may be, it is relevant to you. It applies to you. It applies to where you currently are spiritually in your life. Now, this sermon was actually preached by Jesus about 2,000 years ago. In fact, when Jesus first preached this sermon, he actually presented it as a parable. He actually presented it as a story. In fact, it is one of the most well-known stories in the history of the world. The story or the parable that I am referring to this morning is called in the Bible, the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. Let me ask you something, brothers and sisters. You ever heard of the parable of the sower? You ever read the parable of the sower? You ever studied the parable of the sower? The parable of the sower is certainly one of the most well-known sermons in all the Bible. It is a parable that actually contains some of the most powerful teaching that Jesus ever gave in his life. And this morning in our study, I want us to rehearse it and consider it together. And so take out your Bibles and go over into Matthew chapter 13. Go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. And in just a moment, we're going to start reading with verse 3. As you turn to Matthew 13, if you don't mind, let me give you a little background information on this parable. Let me give you a few fast facts about this parable. First, let me say that this parable is actually found in three of the four Gospels. It's actually found in Matthew, and it's found in Mark chapter 4, and it's found in Luke chapter 8. It is found in three of the four Gospels, and as I said earlier, it is one of the most well-known parables in all the Scriptures. A lot of people are very familiar with this parable. They're familiar with this parable like the parable of the prodigal son and the parable of the good Samaritan. This is a very famous parable. But you see, even though it's a very famous parable, we got to also understand that this is a very misunderstood parable. In other words, this is a parable where when a lot of people study it and read it, they misunderstand it. They misapply it and believe and teach things that are actually contrary to the will of God. And so let's consider what the parable says, starting first with Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. After Jesus had gathered large crowds before him, the Bible says in verse 3, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell in the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." I want you to notice the various figures that Jesus uses to teach in this parable. First, notice how in verse number 3, Jesus mentions a sower. He mentions a sower, and then secondly, notice how he also mentions seed. He says a sower went out to sow seed. He mentions a sower, and he mentions seed, and then thirdly, notice he mentions soils. Beginning in verse number 5, he mentions how the sower went out and sowed seed on soils. That is, the sower went out and sowed seed on various types of ground. He says that as the sower went out to sow some seed, some of that seed fell on the wayside. That is, some of that seed fell on a beaten ground where the seed obviously wasn't going to grow. He says some of the seed fell on the wayside, and some of the seed also fell on the rocky places. For those of you who like to garden and plant things, you know that this is another type of ground where it's going to be very difficult to grow seed. And he also says that some of the seed fell on the thorny ground. Again, for those of you who like to plant things, you know that if you sow seed on this type of ground, eventually that product is going to get choked out and it's going to become unfruitful. And then he also says that some of the seed fell on the good soil. And this is the kind of soil where not only is a crop produced, but it's a very fruitful crop. It is exactly like the sower intended. These are the four kinds of soils that Jesus mentions in this parable. The question is, what does all of this mean? What is Jesus talking about? Why would I say that this is a sermon for every single person? It doesn't matter how old or young you may be. But brothers and sisters, the great thing about this parable is, unlike many of Jesus' other parables, this one is not really that hard to understand. This one is not really that difficult to comprehend. In fact, when you just go down and read a few more verses, there you see exactly what the meaning of this parable is, because Jesus tells us. And so let's continue with the reading. Go back to Matthew 13, and this time let's pick up our reading with verse 18. In verse 18, Jesus says, "Hear then the parable of the sower." Notice how we didn't just make that title up. Jesus called it the parable of the sower. And he says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understand it, who indeed bear fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Notice the meaning behind the various figures that are described in this parable. Do you see them? Let's start with the seed that's mentioned here. Jesus says that a sower went out sowing seed. What does the seed represent? Well, we don't have to guess about that, brothers and sisters, because Jesus actually tells us in verse number 19 of this chapter and in Luke 8 and verse 11, Jesus clearly tells us that the seed in the parable represents the word of God. It represents the sacred text. It represents the Bible that we have in our hands this morning. The seed in the parable represents the word of God, but what about the sower? Again, the sower went out sowing seed. Who is the sower? Well, the sower, according to Jesus, especially Mark 4 and verse 14, the sower represents the teacher. The sower represents the Christian or the disciple or the saint who has enough love and courage to go out into the world spreading the gospel. The sower is the evangelistic worker in the kingdom of God. In fact, the truth is, the sower in the parable should represent all of us. It should represent me, and it should also represent you. We all should be out into the world sowing the seed, which is the word of God. Jesus says the seed is the word of God, and the sower is the teacher. But now let's get to the main part of the parable, and let's talk about these soils. Remember, Jesus talks about four different kinds of soils in the parable. What do those things represent? Well, again, we don't have to guess about that because Jesus tells us in verse number 19 of this chapter, we see that the soils in the parable represent hearts. Specifically, they represent people's hearts. They represent my heart and they represent your heart. Here the Lord is saying that when the word of God is preached, when the seed is sown into the world, we as the hearers are going to respond to that in either one or four ways. We're going to respond in either one or four ways. The question is, which way are we going to respond? The question is, what kind of heart do we have this morning? Which soil in this parable represents your heart? Is it the wayside soil? Is it the beaten soil? Is it the soil that when the seed lands on it, it has no chance of growing? It has no chance of being fruitful. It has no chance of being productive. You see, the wayside soil that Jesus mentions here in the text is the person who may hear the word of God. He may hear the truth from the scriptures, but he chooses to reject that. He chooses to reject the truth from God. He never submits to it. He never obeys it. He never is converted by the teaching. He may hear dozens and dozens of sermons, and he may hear dozens and dozens of Bible class lessons, and yet after hearing all that stuff, it doesn't do him any good. He never changes. He never is convicted in his heart and led to believe in the gospel and become a Christian. The person who has this kind of heart chooses to reject the word of God. He chooses to reject the sacred text. And while the devil may play a part in that, Jesus makes that very clear in the text. That still doesn't mean this person doesn't make a choice. That still doesn't mean that this person doesn't make a decision. You see, we got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that when it comes to hearing teaching from the word of God, every person, I don't care who you are, every person has the ability to make a decision. We got to understand that God didn't make us programmed robots. God made us free moral agents. This is part being made in the image of God. We all have the ability to make a choice. I can make a choice and you can make a choice. And the person that is mentioned here, unfortunately, has made the wrong choice. This is the person who chooses to reject the word of God. The question is, why in the world does this person make that choice? Well, there could be many reasons why this person makes that choice. It could be that this person is just too in love with the tradition of their parents. Maybe this person doesn't want to accept the fact that the things his or her parents taught them while they were growing up are wrong. It could be that this person just loves sin too much. I mean, maybe he's currently living a life that he knows is contrary to the word of God, and he doesn't want to change. He doesn't want to repent. He doesn't want to conform his life to the will of God. Or it could be that this person is just plain stubborn. It could be that this person right here is just too prideful, and he doesn't want to humble himself before God and admit, I need to serve God. I need to serve Jesus. I need to be cleaned up by the blood of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there are many different reasons why a person might have this kind of heart, but the fact remains the same. The fact is, this person right here, regardless of what excuse they want to use, this person right here chooses to reject the word of God. This person right here chooses to reject sacred teachings. The person that Jesus mentions here is the person who may hear a lot of teaching from the scriptures, but they never change. They have a wayside soil kind of heart, but this does bring us down to the second kind of soil that's mentioned, and that is the rocky soil. What does this represent? What kind of person has this kind of heart? Well, when you go back and look at verse number 20 of the text, you see that the person that Jesus talks about here is a person who hears the word of God and he is converted, but eventually he falls away. He falls away. And someone says, wait a minute, Sean, I don't agree with that. I don't agree that a person who is truly converted is capable of falling away. Someone says, I think the person that Jesus talks about here is a person who never was truly converted. Otherwise, they would have never fallen away. Maybe somebody's thinking that right now. And if you are, I want you to know that that is a very unfortunate understanding of the text. That is a very unfortunate understanding of the scripture, because that is not what Jesus says. That is not what the Lord says in that verse. Going back to the verse, notice how Jesus says that those who have this kind of heart are people who not only hear the word of God, but they do what else? They receive it with joy. You know what that means? That means they believe it. That means they accept it. That means they apply it. That means they become disciples for a time in their lives. Contrary to what those who advocate once saved, always saved suggest, this text does not say that these people were not truly converted or that they pretended to be converted. No, what this text says is these people heard the word of God and they received it in their hearts with joy. But because of various reasons, the world, persecution, whatever else, in time, they fall away. In time, they leave the Lord. They abandon the truth. That's what the Lord says there. And there are several other verses in the New Testament that teach the same thing, right? I mean, this is taught all throughout the New Testament. And we need to beware of anybody who tries to teach us otherwise. No matter what, we got to understand that it is possible for people like us. It is possible for disciples, believers, Christians to fall away from God. It is possible for us to leave the Lord. It is possible for us to transition from being right with God to being wrong with God. Here, Jesus is talking about the person who is initially converted, but eventually they abandon the truth. But we then now get to this thorny soil. The thorny soil. And I want to say that this part of the parable is probably the most misunderstood of the whole thing. You see, with this part of the parable, a lot of people get into a lot of trouble. Because they say that like with soil number two, the person who is mentioned here also falls away. They also leave the Lord. A lot of people suggest that. The only problem with that, brothers and sisters, is that's not what the text says. That's not what Jesus says. Now, don't get me wrong. This person here certainly doesn't please God. This person certainly doesn't bring glory to God, but Jesus never says they fall away. Jesus never says they leave the Lord. If we say that, we've added to the text. The Lord never says that. What the Lord says is that these people bring forth no fruit. In other words, they allow the things of this world to choke them out spiritually, and they become unproductive. They never grow. They never mature and develop properly as disciples of Christ. They don't fall away. They don't go away. In fact, they may come to church every single Sunday and come to every Bible class and hear a bunch of Bible teaching, but they're still fruitless. They're still babes in Christ. That's what Jesus does say in the text. And unfortunately, brothers and sisters, this part of the parable may describe members of the Lord's church more than any other. Unfortunately, what Jesus says here may describe more people who have been baptized for the remission of their sins than any other. Someone says, well, Sean, how can I tell if this person describes me or if this soil describes me? Well, let me tell you how you can tell. If you hardly read your Bible and pray every day, if you hardly spend time with Christians outside of regular worship hours, if you're never involved in the work of evangelism, if you're never involved in trying to share your faith with other people, if you're selfish, if you're self-centered, if you come to one or two of these services instead of all three on Sunday, if you're nothing more than a pew filler, if you're not actively trying to get involved in kingdom work, if any of those things describe you, brothers and sisters, then guess what? Here you are in the part of the story. This is you right here. You are the person who hears the word of God. And you may even initially obey it, but you bring forth no fruit. You never grow. This part of the parable may represent more of God's people than we like to admit to. But this does now bring us to the fourth part, and that is the good soil. The good soil. What is this? Well, I want you to notice how Jesus talks about this person or these kind of people. He doesn't condemn them, doesn't he? He doesn't say bad things about these people. Instead, he compliments these people. He commends these people. And the reason why he commends them is because not only do they hear the word of God, but they also hold fast to it and they bear fruit. Jesus talks about this in John 15 and verse 8. There Jesus says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. Jesus wants every disciple to bear some fruit. He wants us to bear fruit. You see, the people that Jesus are talking about here are people who don't just come to church on Sunday. They don't just come to all the services, but they also are growing every day spiritually. They also are trying to live in a way that pleases God every single day, 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. They're trying to bring glory to God. That means they read their Bibles constantly and they try to always grow in their knowledge. And all throughout the day, they pray to God. All throughout the day, they talk to God. They pour their souls out to God through prayer. And they also are actively trying to share their faith with other people. They're also actively trying to tell the people about Jesus and how Jesus died for them and how he rose from the dead and how Jesus wants to save them, just like he saved us. They also are trying to shine their lights every day. And they're doing their best to love people and treat other people right and be servants first. They also strive to be holy like God is holy. And they also take advantage of every opportunity they are given to come into this place with brothers and sisters in Christ to worship and give praise to God. These are the people that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about people who not only hear the word, but they hold fast to it and they grow and they're so productive in the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, remember I told you earlier, I tried to warn you earlier that this parable taught by the master teacher, it has a universal application. I don't care who you are this morning. You can find yourself somewhere in this sermon. I can find myself somewhere and you can as well. The question is, where are you in this sermon? The question is, where are you when it comes to these soils? I want to close by suggesting that I hope you're in the fourth category because of all the soils that are mentioned here, that's the only one that's saved. That's the only one that's saved in the end. So you know what that means? That means if you have the wayside soil, if that's you this morning, you know what you need to do? You need to wake up this morning and understand that life is short. You need to wake up this morning and understand that the Lord will come back at any moment. The Bible says he's going to come back like a thief in the night. Stop gambling with your soul and wake up and choose to obey God. Choose to obey the scriptures and become a Christian before it is too late. And if you have a heart like on the rocky soil, please come back to God this morning. Please do like the prodigal son did in Luke chapter 15. Come back to your father. Be restored into a right relationship with God before it's too late. And if you have a heart like the thorny soil, please get fully committed this morning. Please strive to grow in Christ and remove anything from your life that is preventing you from seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. At this time, we're going to sing a song of invitation. If there's anyone this morning who needs to get into that fourth category, if you're not there, come to the front right now. We'll help you. Let's stand. Let's sing.